하는 것 예보고 예보고 인수고 아멘. Last Sunday in the Armenian church was referred to in Armenian, there's two words for it. It's referred to as New Sunday, Norgiragi, New Sunday, or Repeat Easter. Kirknazati, Repeat Easter. And the reason for this is it's a time for us to start anew, to start a brand new life. Lent is a period of time where we are supposed to prepare for this new life, put away things that have been holding us back and preventing us from coming closer to Christ. Easter is the day that we celebrate the victory of Christ over death and how Christ has given us new life. And then on this Sunday, last Sunday that is, New Sunday, we are reminded how we are now to start this new life in Christ. Everything we have been preparing for throughout Lent, now we need to put into practice for our lives. Today also has two names. Today is referred to as Green Sunday, Ganachkiragi. This is why everything is green in the church today. Ganachkiragi, Green Sunday. And it's called, in Armenian, Ashharamatran Giragi. That is, the nice way of saying it, is the Feast of the Universal Church. The Feast of the Universal Church. And today we remember how the Universal Church was established by Christ through the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It's no accident that these two Sundays happen on this, or these two names happen on the same Sunday, Green Sunday and the Sunday of the Universal Church. Green Sunday, in general, refers to all of the nature blossoming around us, new life that we're seeing this spring, and thankfully with rain. But green also is associated with youth, growth, hope, spring, nature, and new life. The greatest form, though, of new life that we can receive is through Holy Communion, that we receive through baptism. It is in baptism that we become new. It is through baptism that we get a new life. And it is through baptism that we join the universal church. We become members of the universal church. And it is in baptism that we are given an opportunity to live a new life. Our old life has passed away and the new life has begun. And we hear this in the gospel reading today when Christ talks to Nicodemus and says, it is only through being born again, through being born of water and spirit, that one can truly enter the kingdom of heaven. As I mentioned, today is referred to as Ashharamatran Giragi, the day of the universal church. And today we remember how the universal church exists in this world. So often we forget this. We sometimes think that the church in general is these four walls and a roof with a dome on it. Or sometimes, as Armenians, we'll say, well, which church do you belong to? Do you belong to Etchmiadzin in Armenia? Or do you belong to Antilias in Lebanon? Or do you belong to Jerusalem Church? Or do you belong to Constantinople Church? And people come and they ask me, which church do you belong? Is this church belong to? And I say, we are under the jurisdiction of Etchmiadzin, but we all belong to the same church, the universal church. So often we also think that the church is reserved to only incense or icons or vestments or candles, but the church is so much more than that. The church is the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, the church grows. The church grows. It's a living organism. It's a church that continues to change. What we see is just the outside, the exterior layer. As I said in Armenian, yesterday I told my deacons this too. Yesterday I was invited by the Indian Orthodox Church to go to a golfing tournament. and we organized a team of priests to just play golf as a fundraiser. We did not do very well, because as everyone who goes golfing on Sundays has practice, we don't have that opportunity on Sundays to go golfing. So we were very, very bad at it. But along the way, we were able to discuss with one another and talk about our churches and the differences between our churches, what they do during Holy Week, what we do during Holy Week, and how we're very different in that sense, how our funeral services are different, how our wedding services are different, and different things that we do. But what we did understand, and I came to realize again, I knew this, but I realized this again, is that our churches are exactly the same in the sense that we both belong and believe in the same Jesus Christ. The same essence, the same nature that Christ is, we have as well. We just express it differently and we show it differently because of the culture that our church has developed in. We need to remember that Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. The church may change, but he does not. This is true with people too. And we hear this phrase, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. We say, people never change. Right? The outside might change. We may get a little wider. We might lose a little bit more hair. And those that do have hair may be a little grayer. But we as people, our beliefs, our principles, the way we function does not change much. We are the same 50 years ago or 50 years from now. We'll still be the same people. The church is the same as well. But the reason the church is the same is because it belongs to Christ. The question then arises, what does it mean? Or what does it mean that the church, that is, Christ, is the same? Because the Christ, we've said earlier, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does this mean? What does the church preach? What does Christ really preach? And when we ask people, most people will say, especially in today's day and age, people will say, oh, well, Christ taught love. It's a beautiful thing. Love is a beautiful thing. Ask the Beatles, right? Beautiful. But what does that mean? What is that? We also hear that the church or Christ teaches peace, hope, forgiveness, healing. These are all wonderful things. There's nothing wrong with that. But Christ and the church teach something even more than that. Christ and the church teach life. They teach life. That means that where there is death, Christ is not there. Where there is hurt, Christ is not in that area. He does not cause those things, but rather he brings us up out of that. We're the ones that allow ourselves to stay in those areas. He may allow things to happen to us so that we become stronger, so that we grow out of them. But very often, unfortunately, we decide to wallow in our pain. And we become our pain. We become death. And we sometimes cause death, not physical, hopefully, but spiritual death to others. Because we become hopeless. Christ is not that. Christ gives life. He says it very specifically. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it abundantly. It's not just, oh, have a nice life. It's that you may have it abundantly. And this is not a word that we use in our language in English very often, abundantly, abundant. But it means more than enough. How do you have more than enough life? You belong to Christ. He gives it. He gives it to us and he invigorates us so that we may have it always. This is possible only in the church. If you want true life, you must be part of a church. You must be part of the body of Christ. And we hear this. We are granted life through Holy Communion. Because when the priest celebrates the Bava Dat, the Eucharist, and he turns around to the people for the very first time in the entire liturgy. And he holds up the chalice. He says, this is life. He does not say, this is something nice. He does not say, this is communion. He does not even say, this is something that you should partake in because it's a nice thing to do because your grandparents did it. And if you don't, amot kezi. Okay? Shame on you. He does not say that. He says, this is life. If you want life, you need to take part of this. You need to be part of the church. And then the choir, after communion takes place, reiterates this and says, we praise you, Lord, for you have fed us from the table of immortality, granting us salvation, granting salvation to the world and life to our souls. This is what Holy Communion does. This is what the church does. This is what Christ does, is he gives life. And we must know what life is, and we must preach life. So when we see someone who is dying, not physically necessarily, but emotionally, spiritually, we must approach them and we must give them life. We must give them Christ. And sometimes, very often I should say, that means bringing them into the body of Christ, bringing them to church. It's very hard to give someone hope and to give someone life when they refuse to be part of a community, when they refuse to be part of a family and the body of Christ. It's very difficult to do. Nothing is impossible with God, but it's very hard. And we must bring them to church. This does not mean dragging them along the way. Sometimes you have to do that, especially if they're children. But, more often than not, all we can say is come and see. And that's all we can say, and leave the ball in their court for them to come to church, for them to come to this body and be part of it. So today on Green Sunday, when we remember the universal church and how Christ established it and we all belong to the universal church, and how we remember our baptisms and how we became part of that universal church through our baptisms, we also must remember today, I pray, that we are given life. We have life, and we must preach life. And whenever we hear someone preaching something opposite of life, that is not the gospel. That is not Christ. That is not the church. That is something else. It's something satanic. We preach life so that we may have it and may have it abundantly. Amen.